भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। In Mauritius, even if you start the program late and end late, doesn't matter much, does it? In Kenya and in some parts of Africa, the crime rate is so high, you have to finish the programs by 8 o'clock. Yeah, people are scared to go out and stay on the road after 8. So, at random, I just selected this verse for discussion today. This is text 18. Chapter 18, text 73. The verse I believe is on the board. Arjuna uvacha nasto moha light mritir labdha yamo light swa prasadam mayachyuta stito smi gatha sandeha karishye vachanam tava nasto moha smriti labdha tvat prasada mayaschitya sito smiti gatha sandeha karishye vachanam tatha tava. Straight to the translation, it's a little late. I believe at 9 o'clock you have Arati. So, translation. Arjuna said, "My dear Krishna, O Infallible One, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt, and I'm prepared to act according to your instructions." Responsively, Arjuna said, "My dear Krishna, O Infallible One, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt, and am prepared to act according to your instructions." Om Gyanti Vinandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshur Mirdamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manavastam Sabitamina Putale. Bande ham Sri Guru Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Mitam Tam Sadevam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanatam Sri. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Kare Gopesha Gopika Sandha Dada Pancha Kalpa Tribhuvyascha Kura Sindhu Gayantra Tahitana Paranidro Shashwati Krona Mokana Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Amunitra Nandara Krishna. So this is a famous verse of the Bhagavad Gita where Arjuna acknowledges that his illusion is now gone. In the previous test, Krishna questioned Arjuna. He said, have you heard this knowledge with an attentive mind? So in other words, Krishna is emphasizing that this knowledge should be heard with an attentive mind or attentively. And we see a similar statement in the Bhagavatam, first canto, where it is said, sorry, Nasta Parisha Vadeshu Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Nastaki. If one hears the Bhagavatam attentively, then ignorance gets destroyed. Loving devotional service gets established. So, Krishna spoke the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita only after Arjuna in the second chapter pleaded confusion and begged for guidance. Arjuna said, I'm now confused about my duty. Therefore, I'm asking you for guidance. And Krishna, after giving guidance in this 18th chapter, which as you know is the concluding chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is being questioned, did he hear this with an attentive mind? And is there illusion and ignorance not destroyed? So we all come under the influence of ignorance, is that right? An illusion? Are Mauritians exempted from that? No? No exemption? So, we are all brought up in an ignorant society. Just like before we speak, we offer a prayer which states, Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalagya. That we were all born in ignorance. And by the mercy of the spiritual masters, sadhus, etc., we get guided into the proper path of action. So, we are all born in illusion. But after coming in contact with devotees and receiving spiritual knowledge, we begin to realize what's right and what is wrong. So, Krishna questioned, is illusion and ignorance now gone? And Arjuna here is acknowledging, yes, now my illusion is gone. Now I have regained my memory by your mercy. And I'm free from doubt. And I'm prepared to act according to your instructions. So there should be the mentality of everyone, especially those who are connected to the Krishna conscious movement, those of us who are fortunate to have got connected to the ISKCON movement, those of us who are fortunate to have embraced this path of devotional service, should always recognize that we have to act on the basis of what Krishna says. And we accept what is favorable and reject what is favorable for devotional service. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in explaining the process of Sharanagati. What does Sharanagati mean? To surrender. So he explains the sixfold process of surrendering to the Lord, or the six aspects of surrender. Beginning with accepting what is favorable for spiritual advancement and rejecting what is unfavorable for spiritual advancement. So that's our guideline. We accept what is favorable, we reject what is unfavorable, and we recognize that Krishna is the maintainer and the ultimate master. And self-surrender, which means that we make our desires consistent with the desires of the Lord. An average person's concept of religion is, my desire should be God's desire. Is that right? Whichever I desire, God should fulfill that. And if it doesn't get fulfilled, then I should shop elsewhere. But a devotee's understanding is, Krishna's desire is my desire. And what is Krishna's desire? We understand through the pages of the Bhagavad Gita, through the instructions of the Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. And by following these instructions, we act to please the Lord. So, Prabhupada explains self-surrender, which is the fifth aspect of surrendering to the Lord, that we make our desires consistent with the desires of the Lord. Now, in order for us to recognize or to comprehend and be aware of what Krishna wants us to do, we have to regularly study these books. That's one reason why I wanted a discussion on the Bhagavad Gita. Because the Bhagavad Gita summarizes our vast philosophy, and by regularly reading the Bhagavad Gita, we constantly get reminded into what's right and what is wrong. So there are several aspects of illusion that affect all of us. And by regularly reading the Bhagavad Gita, hearing the Bhagavad Gita, we are able to destroy our ignorance. We should also recognize that Lord Chaitanya also personally instructed his disciples, followers, to study the Bhagavad Gita, read the Gita on a regular basis. Lord Chaitanya's tour of southern India is very nicely explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the scriptures, especially the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat. We get very nice explanation of Lord Chaitanya's philosophy and his wonderful transcendental pastimes. So after having converted the staunch impersonalist Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to the path of devotional service, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a very prominent impersonalist residing in Jagannath Puri. He came to Puri moving from Bengal, because Bengal had been taken over by a Mohammedan king, and hence a lot of the pandits moved from Bengal to Jagannath Puri. And Lord Chaitanya was extremely merciful and converted him to the path of personalism. After having converted him to the path of personalism, Lord Chaitanya proceeded on a tour of southern India, which is very memorable because wherever Lord Chaitanya went, he was able to inspire the local devotees to take to the process of chanting Hare Krishna. And his trip was so successful that when these individuals would go back to their respective places, other people, just by seeing them chant and dance, would also begin to chant and dance. Just imagine, just like an epidemic. How does an epidemic spread? It spreads from A to B to C, isn't it? Just like when we were landing today in Mauritius, on Air Mauritius airplane, they announce, they make you complete a questionnaire on medical questions, and they announce, if anybody has fruits, plants, etc., you cannot bring them to Mauritius. Isn't that? You can bring gold, but you can't bring fruits and plants. If you go to America, you have dogs coming to sniff. Are you carrying any food? And if you're carrying any food, you have to drop it at the airport. If you take it, try to take it through, you can get caught. So why do they do this? Why are they saying in Mauritius, you can't bring any plants and fruit from India? Because they're concerned that if these plants come with some diseases, it's going to spread the infection, isn't it? And people are going to get diseased. So just like material infection spreads from A to B to C, spiritual infection also spreads from A to B to C. Prabhupada, of course, we have the example of Lord Chaitanya, who is none else but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But we also have, very recently, the example of Srila Prabhupada, how Prabhupada converted people of all walks of life just by the chanting of the holy name. If you go to New York, Tompkins Square Park now, I was told that they put a big plaque there saying, this is where the founder of the Hare Krishna movement started his movement. Because Prabhupada just went and started chanting underneath a tree, and that attracted some Americans, and then it spread from A to B to C to D. So similarly, Prabhupada had gone to, after establishing Krishna consciousness in the Western world, and after having laid the foundation of Krishna consciousness in India, Prabhupada turned his attention to the former Soviet Union. The former Soviet Union is now also known as, many people know it as Russia. So Prabhupada went over there, 1971, staying in a hotel. He just one day went there with one secretary. The one secretary was one day, at that time, very few Russians spoke English because the government deliberately didn't want them to learn English so they could hear the anti-communist broadcast from America and England. So not many people spoke Russian, English. So anyway, one of Prabhupada's secretary, Shamsundar, was looking for a shop where he could buy some milk and fruits. He approached many people, but nobody could understand what he was saying. He finally met one person, a young American Russian, who was into yoga and who knew English. So Prabhupada's secretary accompanied him to a shop where he could buy milk and fruits. Prabhupada was staying in a hotel, National Hotel, and the hotels were all non-vegetarians. So as they were walking to the shop and then returning towards the hotel, Prabhupada's secretary realized that, this man is into yoga. It's a young Russian. So he said, I'm here with my guru, he's a yoga teacher. So the young Russian said, oh, can I meet him? He said, sure. So he took him to Prabhupada, and in 3 days Prabhupada initiated him, trained him up in Krishna consciousness, and left. He left, he was there just a few days. And this person then started preaching based on Prabhupada's instruction and training. And then he spread, it went from A to B to C, and today there are thousands of devotees. So spiritual epidemic also spreads from A to B to C, and therefore we should all be anxious to preach. So Lord Chaitanya converted almost everyone to the path of personalism, and then he proceeded to stay in the house of a Brahmin devotee called Kurma. This Brahmin devotee called Kurma considered himself very fortunate because the Lord personally came to reside in his house. He washed his feet, indicating his great fortune in that the Lord has come to stay in his house. And then at a certain point, the Brahmin expressed a desire that he wanted to travel with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rather than live at home. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, there's no need to travel with me, stay where you are, but do the following. And one of the principles he gave was to read the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam every day, besides, of course, chanting the holy name. So, if we make it a point to read and study the Bhagavad Gita, that will save us from being affected by illusion and doubt. The power of Maya is no doubt strong. Is it strong or weak in Mauritius? Huh? Strong or weak? No one's replying. And is it getting powerful day by day or getting weaker? Now on the internet you can virtually enter any obscene, dirty area, etc. So Maya is the ability of Maya to put us in illusion and doubt is getting stronger day by day. Just like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Devesha Gunamai Mama Maya Durateya. To overcome this illusory energy is very, very difficult. But then Krishna goes on to say, but if you surrender to me, then you can overcome the power of illusion. Just like this afternoon, we were explaining from the Upadesha myth, where Rupa Goswami says, the holy name is very sweet, sweet like sugar candy. But unfortunately, because our tongue is afflicted with the disease of ignorance, we are unable to taste the sweetness of the holy name. That's why we chant, and we finish our 16 rounds, we think it's a great burden off our head, isn't it? If we had spontaneous attraction, we would want to chant all the time. You know, when Prabhupada first started the movement in America, he told the devotees to chant 64 rounds a day. Can you believe that? So the devotees were given the quota of 64 rounds a day. And these Americans, at that time, they were only American devotees in the movement. So then these American devotees, the few that were there at that time, they tried to chant 64 rounds, but they couldn't do it. So they went to Prabhupada and said, Swami, those days they used to call Prabhupada Swami. So then it went on to Swamiji and then Prabhupada. So they said, Swami, we are Americans, we can't chant 64 rounds a day. That's too much. Then Prabhupada said, okay, chant 32 rounds a day. So they tried 32 rounds for a few days. And they couldn't do 32 rounds either. So they came back and told Prabhupada, 32 rounds is also very, very difficult. Then Prabhupada said, 16 rounds and no less. Final. So, the point is, if we had great attraction for the holy name, we would all endeavor to chant all the time, isn't it? But we don't have this great attraction. And Rupa Goswami explains why. Due to the power of illusion, avidya. Avidya means ignorance, and vidya means the opposite, knowledge. So we are all influenced by avidya. And due to the influence of avidya, we have so many attractions. We are pulled by lust, anger, greed, envy, hatred, etc. So therefore, Rupa Goswami says, if however you chant the holy name regularly, then the disease will get cured. Because as we know, one of the gains of chanting the holy name is, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said in the opening verse of the Sikshastaka, what did he say? What did he say in the opening verse of the Sikshastaka? Chaita Darpan? Yes, one of the benefits of chanting the holy name is the heart gets cleansed of misgivings. So, similarly, by hearing and engaging in the path of devotional service, we can destroy our ignorance. So Lord Chaitanya told this Kurma Brahman, read the Gita and Bhagavatam on a daily basis. And as Lord Chaitanya was traveling in southern India, he came to a temple. It's a very famous historical temple, Sri Rangam in southern India, where he saw an uneducated Brahmin holding a Bhagavad Gita, trying to recite 18 chapters of the Gita. But because he was uneducated, he could not pronounce the slokas correctly, nor could he understand the meaning of the slokas. But this Brahmin would still, as a matter of duty, every day sit next to one pillar and recite, try to recite the 18 chapters of the Gita. Now, as he would recite, he would also manifest symptoms of pure ecstasy, such as tears coming from the eyes, hair standing on end, shivering of the body. We find in places like Vrindavan, people often try to imitate these genuine symptoms to make a show that they are Paramahamsas. Therefore you have a lot of false Paramahamsas these days. But this Brahmin was displaying genuine symptoms of ecstasy. And at the same time, there was a crowd of people around him who would laugh, saying that, look at this uneducated Brahmin. We know this man is uneducated, but every day he sits on like a big pandit, making a show as if he knows how to read the Bhagavad Gita. The Brahmin was not discouraged by people laughing at him because he could not chant the slokas properly. So Lord Chaitanya noticed for a few days that every day the Brahmin would be here and there would be a crowd of people around him. So he went to that Brahmin and said, what is it in the Bhagavad Gita that you're holding is making you display these symptoms of ecstasy? And then the Brahmin revealed how he was ordered by his Guru Maharaj to regularly, daily read the Bhagavad Gita. And he's trying to execute that order. But because he's maturely uneducated, he pronounces some slokas properly and some incorrectly. He understands the meaning of some and doesn't understand the meaning of some. And because he doesn't pronounce them properly, people around him gather and laugh and make fun of him. So Lord Chaitanya then embraced this Brahmin and said, you have understood the meaning of the Gita. This Brahmin also said, but when I read the slokas of the Bhagavad Gita, and when I read the Supreme Lord personally becoming the chariot driver of his devotee Arjuna, tears come from my eyes and my hair stands on end. Lord Chaitanya then embraced this Brahmin and said, you have really understood the meaning of the Bhagavad Gita. And then Lord Chaitanya took this Brahmin home, kept the Brahmin with himself for 2 months, and elaborately explained to him the meaning of the Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada, in the commentary of this Leela, makes a very, very, very important point. Prabhupada says, this Brahmin was executing his guru's order, which was, what was it? To read the Gita daily. And he did not care that people were laughing or ridiculing him. And the net result was, God personally came to see him. But who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? None else but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the point is that if we make an endeavor to study the Bhagavad Gita on a regular basis, Krishna's mercy will also flow and we'll be able to understand the Gita better. Prabhupada, when he established this Krishna Consciousness Movement, he also established the importance of reading the Gita every day. Therefore, he made that principle in all our ISKCON temples. There must be Bhagavatam class in the morning and Gita class in the evening, where Prabhupada wanted us to understand these books. So it's very important that if we want to escape the power of ignorance, then we regularly read these books to remind us what is Krishna's duty, what is Krishna's instruction, what does he want us to do, what does he want us to avoid, what does he want us to practice. In the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you read about the disappearance of Lord Sri Krishna. You read that when Arjuna saw certain symptoms, he could recognize that the Lord has departed. And then Arjuna began to meditate on those activities in which he was successful because of the assistance he had from his beloved friend Krishna. Just like when it was time to choose a groom for Draupadi, her father almost imposed an impossible condition. What was the condition? There was a fish in a revolving wheel, and by seeing the reflection of the fish in the water, you had to penetrate the eye of the fish. This was virtually an impossible task to execute. But Arjuna was able to execute it. So Arjuna began to recall how the Pandavas had to go through unlimited tribulations. And even though maturely the other side was powerful, more powerful, ultimately the Pandavas were victorious because they had Krishna on their side. So Arjuna was meditating how Krishna saved him, and his brothers, etc. But then, because Arjuna was very morose that now Krishna has departed from the planet, but then Arjuna began to meditate on Krishna's instructions from Bhagavad Gita. And the moment he started to meditate on Krishna's instructions from the Bhagavad Gita, he felt that Krishna was standing right next to him, and his illusion, lamentation, moroseness disappeared, and he became joyful again. Because just by meditating on Krishna's instruction, but Krishna's instructions are none different from Krishna. So Prabhupada, in the purport of this story, explains that just like Arjuna was meditating on Krishna's instructions from Bhagavad Gita, we should also meditate on what? Krishna's instructions from the Gita. And if we meditate on that, then our illusion will also be gone. So that's it. But you can only meditate on something if you also read it regularly. Therefore, regular reading of the Bhagavad Gita, studying the Bhagavad Gita, is absolutely essential. The Bhagavad Gita destroys ignorance. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Dikara Yaha Krishna Tahini Maya Dikara. Where there is Krishna, there is no room for Maya. Just like where there is sunshine, there is no room for darkness. So we need to Prabhupada states in the purport of this verse, because it's a long purport, and the Prabhupada states in the purport that the constitutional position of the living entity represented by Arjuna is to act to follow the order of the Supreme Lord. And that is called self-discipline. So, Krishna's order is explained in the books. And in our case, we the devotees are very fortunate because we have the commentaries of great acharyas on these verses. And Srila Prabhupada, when he was dictating the purport of these verses, the purports of what you read in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Prabhupada would have in front of him the purport of the previous acharyas, just like when he was dictating the Bhagavad Gita purports. He would have in front of him the purport of Baladeva Vidyabhusan. When he was dictating the Srimad Bhagavatam, he would have in front of him the purport of the previous acharyas. And Prabhupada took on what was essential from these acharyas' commentaries and added what was relevant to make it understandable for we, the conditioned souls. So, by reading and hearing, we destroy our illusion. The Bhagavad Gita establishes the position of the Supreme Lord, isn't it? It identifies for us who is the Supreme Lord. It is not that we blindly or sentimentally accept Krishna as the Supreme. This is the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita. And Arjuna also declares this conclusion is not just my conclusion, but also the conclusion of Asita, Devala, Vyasa, Narada. All these great sages have also confirmed it. So this is the conclusion. Then the Bhagavad Gita establishes, helps us to understand the difference between the body and the soul. How the body is perishable, goes through different stages of transformation. And how, what is the nature of the soul? Jayate me deva kadachan. Never takes birth, never dies. Then the Bhagavad Gita also establishes the role of Prakriti, how Prakriti or material nature is under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Prakriti is not independent of the Lord. We may be very proud of technology, but what does technology really do? All that technology does is manipulate the resources given by God. It can't create resources, is that right? There's oil, so they have technology, they drill the oil out. If there's water, they can extract the water. But it doesn't create the resources. So, Bhagavad Gita establishes Maya Dakshina Prakriti Suyatesa Characha. This material nature is working in a whose direction? My direction. Then Bhagavad Gita also establishes the position of time. How time destroys everything. Am I right? What does Krishna say on this point? Time I am the destroyer of everything. You have a handsome young body. What does time do? Make sure it doesn't remain handsome for long. You have a sweet voice, time will make sure over time it becomes, you lose your sweetness. So time eventually destroys everything. That's why Chanakya Pandit has also said, the time should not be wasted. A second loss cannot be made up with the wealth of the entire world. So therefore devotees are anxious not to waste time. You know, I don't talk, idle activities, etc. Recognizing the lost time can never be gained at any cost. Then the Bhagavad Gita discusses karma. How we living entities have the freedom. Krishna explains the philosophy. Then he asked Arjuna, is your illusion of God? And Arjuna said, yes. Krishna leaves the final decision in whose hand? In Arjuna's hand. So similarly, we get educated into what's right, what's wrong. And finally, the choice is ours. The degree to which we want to surrender. All of them, as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So if you regularly hear the Gita, regularly associate with devotees, regularly study these books, then you'll be free from illusion. And what does it mean, free from illusion? That means you are enthusiastically engaged in what? Engaged in devotional service. And that means in all situations you remain undisturbed. In all situations you're anxious to serve. Just like Lord Chaitanya said, my dear Lord, even if you trample me to death, you shall remain my worshipable Lord unconditionally. So that's what the pure devotional service path is. Unconditional surrender. Conditional surrender is also there, but what is superior is unconditional surrender. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, Krishna explains, people come to me under how many circumstances? Four. One who is a genuine seeker of knowledge. Second, the one who is in distress. Third is? And the fourth is? Huh? One who wants wealth? No. But in Mauritius, nobody wants wealth, no. One is inquisitive and the distressed, and one who wants wealth. So Krishna says all our four are punyatma, but out of the four, the best is who? Who comes to me as a result of knowledge. And in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, the mood is emphasized in this famous verse, Sarve punsam paro dharmo yato bhakti adhokshaje ahita ke pratikita yajatma se prasidati. The devotional service should be unmotivated and uninterrupted. So by regularly reading and associating with devotees, we get inspired to execute the path of devotional service and to serve the Lord unconditionally and. So it's important that we regularly read the books, especially the Bhagavad Gita, so that we stay on the right path. Everyone agrees with this? How many of you agree? How many of you read the Bhagavad Gita daily? It's still you write, you can't see. Only a small hand. Someone told me today that we don't read it all. I said that's a big problem everywhere. We should make it a point to read the books regularly. So now it's Aarti time. Hare Krishna. Any questions? That's okay. Try to do it, make it a point to read every day. Okay, so we'll stop here. Yeah. Hare Krishna. How much you know tomorrow's program? Hare Krishna.
Alors, le programme demain, c'est à Octavier. Le programme peut commencer 6h30. Jusqu'à, oui, bien sûr, sur le matin avant. Le matin, demain, je suis en Bhagavatam Cross. Depuis à Octavier.